The Gospel from Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For Pharisees and all the Jews of faith do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you. Hypocrite, says it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. One doesn't have to be more than a casual reader of the Gospels of Jesus Christ to figure out very quickly that Jesus' primary complaint was with the professional holy people. Now, in those days, they were the men, the elders of faith. They were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. His harshest criticism was for the professional holy people, which, to be quite honest with you, sometimes I find a bit annoying because that's the group I'm in. I'm one of the professional holy people, and you can tell I'm professional because I use inclusive language. You know, I've been well trained. You know, I crammed a 4-year seminary program into 5 years. I know what it is to go through the training to be one of those professional holy people. I even lived through the ignominy of when I told my mother I wanted to go to seminary, and she broke out hysterically saying, "You be a pastor? You can't even carry a tune, let alone chant." Great, Mom. This is the same woman that near the end of my career, she said before her death, "You know, I think it's good that clergy wear black." And that's because, Mom, well, it's slimming. Miss you, Mom. Once a former parishioner asked me, he will remain nameless, "What's it like preparing a sermon? Do you go through the same routine all the time? Do you have the same things that you do? What is it all about?" And in a moment of transparency, I said to him, "Sometimes it's a battle. It's a fight to take the word and try to find and to be open to the Spirit that will come and inspire you and lead you in a direction where you could preach God's word. It's a battle." He paused for a second and said, "That's only fair." I think he was implying it's a battle to listen to it sometimes. So we are reminded Jesus saves his harshest criticism for the professional holy people, not the hookers, not the drug dealers, not the stealing politicians or the immigrants at our borders, but the professional holy, and in this day, men. Those are the ones that Jesus would lose it with. For the record, let me make something clear. Sometimes we dismiss the professional holy people in the day of Jesus as hypocrites because somehow they believed that by their works they could earn their salvation, their own righteousness by their works, by following the law. By the way, there were 613 of them. To be a professional, to model for the faith of the people, that they would see the proper life that they should be lived. 613 laws and rules. Shoot, most of us have trouble with two of them. But it was because in Exodus 19:6, we're reminded, here's what God speaks to the people of Israel. Although the whole world is mine, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What would that look like to be a king? It sounds like Martin Luther's teaching, actually a little bit like the priesthood of all believers. But they believed that through organizing their life according to these 613 laws, they would demonstrate a righteousness that somehow the world would see. But Jesus just climbs all over them. Something has been missed. Now, what was the big deal about washing hands? Well, there was a long-winded explanation for it, but the Cliff Notes are real simple. All of life, they would demonstrate by the following these laws their faithfulness to God. Apparently, though, per Jesus' criticism, though this was not what God had in mind, and he called Israel to be, when he called them to be, a priestly nation. If I gave you all a couple minutes and said, I want you to come up with one symbol, one picture, one image that for you, your faith, your life in Christ emanates from. It's like turning a pyramid upside down or something like that. What's the seminal piece? Where is it? What's the picture you use? Some people, it would be a verse. Maybe John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Maybe for others, it would be a Bible story. Maybe that's what has inspired them and called them to faith. Others, it might be an image, a picture. I remember as a child, Jesus carrying the lamb. We all remember that on his shoulders. And maybe that's what kind of gives animus, energy to our faith that inspires us. We all have some picture, some image. One of the ones that's been most important in my life is in Matthew, the 8th chapter, the first 3 verses. Now, the context is this. Chapters 5, 6, 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the largest body of red letters in one piece in Scripture, in the Gospels. So Jesus, beginning with the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, and so it goes. And so, now the scene is Jesus, 8th chapter. He's coming down the mountain. The crowds, imagine the crowds about. He's coming down the mountain. But what's coming at Jesus, straight at him, is a leper. Now, a leper, by law, had to give way. They would have their clothes or their cloak wrapped around them, and they would be walking the roads saying, unclean, unclean. And so if you heard that, you would yell at them, get off the road. And they would travel because according to the law, you could stone them to death. Because the unclean represented sin. Their physical disease was a manifestation of internal sin. You had to be careful if your teenage child had a bad case of acne. Because according to some priest, they might see that as a sign of something. And the unclean were always separated. The unclean never came in contact with the clean. So picture the scene. Here he is coming up towards Jesus, this leper. Now, if you were a parakeet, this is what a leper might look like. Well, that one's certainly a little bit different, isn't it? You know? But this is more like what came at Jesus. Like this woman. Or maybe it was like this man who came with hands. You see, that's what leprosy, Hansen disease did. And he came and he dropped himself on his knees right in front of Jesus. Right in front of Jesus. And in these, his response, his question is to Jesus, sir, if you want to, you can heal me. Now, Scripture will probably translate it as Lord, and that's a bad translation. Lord, if you want to, you can heal me. Because most references to Jesus, they want to give him authority, so that he's Lord. But in fact, the word root word translates is sir. It's like, ma'am, sir, you could heal me if you want to. And he drops to his knees. And Jesus' response is, I do want to. And he reaches out and he touches him. And what you have to understand, this is This is the OK Corral, the shootout at the OK Corral. This is two worlds coming and colliding. This isn't just a nice story of Jesus being a good guy and healing people. This is two worlds colliding right here in this moment because the unclean do not come in contact with the clean. And Jesus not only touches him, he says, I do want to. And he reaches out and he touches him. And the healing happens, but the healing, the story is so much larger than someone being healed of their leprosy. There is this collision now in which Jesus is saying, if you're to be a priestly nation, this is what it looks like to function as a priest. I do want to. And it becomes the mantra of our faith. Let me also say that of the 613 laws, only two were spoken by God. And you know what they are. You know what they are. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. And the second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those were the two. Of the 613, two were spoken by God. You know, Hansen's disease, we don't have leprosy too much, thank God. But for us, many of us, it comes in different forms. For some people, this is what leprosy looks like. The gay pride parade. For some people, that's the unclean. It's unclean. For others, maybe this is what lepers look like. People stacked up at a border hoping that someone would reach out and say, I do want to touch you. I do. Jesus, the critical task of Christian faith is to name our own lepers. This is what we all have to do. We name our lepers. And then we allow the Spirit of God to work through us where there is this desire to reach and to touch because there is no longer unclean and clean. There is only the redeemed. That's all. That's the only category left, the redeemed. For the Christian, love then becomes a source of sanity. It keeps us sane. It keeps us from going nuts. Love does, because you see, love keeps us from doing self-destructive things. Love keeps us from making bad decisions. Love inspires us to bridge in service, to forgive in forgiveness and hope. There is no fear in love. And Trinity Lutheran builds bridges. It reaches to people with a message. It says, I do want to. That's our mantra now. I do want to. I want to. But we do so remembering this is love. Not that we loved God, but God loved us and sent his Son to us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. One last story. One of my favorite authors, Christian authors of the 20th century, was a Japanese gentleman, Shusaku Endo. And the book that I'm referencing is called Silence. Not hard to remember. Endo is E-N-D-O, Silence. I commend it to you. Heartily commend it to you. In the early 17th century, Christianizing Japan was the primary mission field. But the authorities of Japan had made Christianity illegal. And so the story came back to the protagonist in the story, Father Rodriguez, that his mentor, his confessor, his inspiration for life of faith, Father Ferreira, had gone to Japan and renounced his faith. He had apostatized. Rodriguez could not believe it. He just could not believe it. So he goes to Japan. I'm truncating the story down, the highlights. He gets to Japan and he gets arrested after meeting with Christians who are now meeting in secret because it's illegal. And he finds himself arrested and he stands before Rodriguez's father and he is prepared to suffer the glory of martyrdom, then renounce his faith. He will not do it. He will not. He is arrested. He's given a comfortable cell. He's fed well. He's not abused. After a period of time, he's brought before the authority, the shogun, and says, simply, will you renounce your faith? He says, I will not. And he doesn't have to say anything, because on the floor, carved in front of them, between them, is a relief carving of the crucifixion. And all he has to do is wipe his foot across it, and that will be sufficient. That's all. He stands there proud for his faith, ready to do what Father Ferreira would not. And he says, I will not renounce my faith. I will not apostatize. And Shogun says, fine. He's taken back to his cell. He's fed. He's reasonably comfortable. But the next, and through the night, he prays, knowing that the next morning there will be this clash, this coming together, and there will be pain. So he hears the commotion in the courtyard. He looks out his window, and he sees some of the men, women, and children of a little parish that he had met with. And they are martyred in front of his eyes. The next day he's brought before the authority again. Will you renounce your faith? He says, I will not. Taken back. And again the next morning, the story is repeated. There is no glory for him. The law, what had become law for him, he would not renounce his faith. He was prepared to suffer anything except. So he's brought before a third time, asked the same question, and this time he goes. And as he does that, he hears the voice of God. Tramp, tramp, tramp. For this too have I come. The bridge of Jesus Christ to the unclean is regardless of our sin or our apostasy. God comes to us in the Christ, and we know the love of God. God is good. All the time. All the time. Amen.